wave across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, ugly Australians on the tear. We've got details of the footy trip to Bali, which has brought shame upon the nation. Also today, the Green Senator who wouldn't get off the bus, Fergie's psychic pyramid, and we'll launch our informative and tasteful new sex program. It's once again time to do as we do and make a dick of yourself on Radio Gladiators. We'll play Sticky Beaks, and plonking himself in the guest chair today, it's another Aussie comic who cleaned up at Edinburgh this year, Glenn Robbins. Yes, it's all coming up on the wacky new Australian body-swapping comedy, Martin Malloy. That's Tina Arena. Of course it is, with Sorrento Moon. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Martin Malloy for Thursday, right around the country, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's been sleeping out front of his local Bass in an oxygen tent, just waiting for those coveted Michael Jackson tickets. Mick Malloy.
I'll fight you for him. Don't come near me.
He's coming back. Michael Jackson is coming back to Australia, and he looks way different than he did when he was here last. I hope he's updated his passport photo. It could be an incident at customs. Uh-huh. But speaking of customs, speaking of overseas travel, tell us about the incident, Mickey, which has brought shame upon the big brown land.
Yeah, Tony, okay. I thought we might turn our attention to the traditional end-of-year trip that most sporting clubs in the country go on after the end of a sporting season. Now, it's usually football clubs, and more often than not, it involves behaviour that degenerates into something we describe as subhuman.
Yes.
I'm not wrong there, am I? I can't recall a group of neurosurgeons ever being turfed off a flight because of their drunken tomfoolery or nude work down the aisles after a hectic year in surgery. It is pretty much a sporting domain, but the antics of a group of AFL footballers enjoying an end-of-year trip in Bali has reignited the controversy surrounding such trips. Listen to this, Tone. For 7 days at the Ocean Blue Resort at Kuta Beach, Bali, two women say they were subjected to the most appalling and disgusting human behaviour they have ever seen.
Oh, give us the ugly details.
All right. The women allege AFL players defecated from balconies and on pathways, urinated in the swimming pool to the point where the water developed a pale yellow tinge, spat drinks over staff and vandalised rooms. According to the women, one player in the restaurant was so intoxicated he just urinated through his pants.
Oh, dear.
Now, okay, I know that kind of behaviour probably is a tad enthusiastic, but it's nothing that isn't taking place in these high-level meetings between John Howard and President Suharto. There's a couple of backsides we've all seen perched over hotel balconies in the last couple of days, isn't it? Am I wrong? Look, can't people understand? These footballers are no different than the piles of poop they're leaving around the resort. They're just letting off a little bit of steam. Bali, is it a third world country or a third world country? I'm confused. I spoke to a couple of people who've just come back from holidaying there, and Tone, they had a horrible trip.
Did they?
Reckon the whole time they were there, it did nothing except bucket down cats and bogs. Come on. The women say players damaged their rooms as well as barging into the rooms of other women to spray toothpaste, champagne and drinks all over beds and clothes.
Really?
Room service. Imagine that. Gee, in some places I've stayed at, that is room service, though.
Oh, yeah. 4-star.
Now, I don't have a problem with that kind of behaviour. Unless the girls had the do not disturb signs out,
then
I think they're way out of line. But otherwise, ladies, well, I'm afraid you were asking for it. They say one player had also strangled a rooster. Now, that's not a euphemism, is it, Tony?
I don't know.
Hey, where's Jono? I'll be down in a minute. He's just strangling the rooster. What's the poor rooster done? What could the rooster possibly have done? I know. Maybe the players thought the rooster was mimicking them by running around the grounds going the poop wherever it felt like. Smart-ass rooster. Had it coming. One bloke's urinated in his pants in front of other diners. What, couldn't make it to the pool in time? Don't get me wrong, Tone. I think there is a place for that kind of behaviour. the Mir space station, for example.
Absolutely.
But I, for one, wouldn't like to eat out where diners are coming in normal jeans and leaving in acid wash. Sorry, I draw the line. And as for the pool with a yellow tinge tone, well, I think we've all probably been swimming in a pool while someone's done wee, but it's a bit stiff when you're trying to swim and it's coming from the balcony.
And out. There we go. That's Alanis Morissette, you learn here at Martin Malloy. And Mick, enough unpleasantness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Fergie.
Okay. Hang on.
Well, Fergie is battening down the hatches at the moment for the release of a new book called The Duchess of York Uncensored. Have you heard about this?
No, I'm all ears.
It's written by her personal faith healer and mystic, Madame Vasso, who for several years advised Sarah Ferguson under a bizarre blue plastic pyramid. You know, the bloke who does my tax wears exactly the same thing.
Does he?
Suit, tie, blue plastic pyramid. Do you think I should say something?
Nah, let it go. It's
serving some purpose. But the Duchess would consult Madame Vasso sometimes up to a dozen times a day about even the smallest decisions. So she's clocking up a fair few hours under the pyramid. That would have driven Madame Vasso nuts, wouldn't it? 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, hang on, Fergie, I'll get the pyramid. Take the Foxtel money. Right, now let me get back to bed. Anyway, after too many sessions under the cone, Vasso's turned on Fergie and banged out this book, which is said to reveal full details of the Duchess's sex life and boasts 16 pages of shocking and revealing photos. Now, is that something the public are clamouring for? Have they researched this? Do you ever hear anyone going, gee, I wish there was more published information about Fergie's sex life. Gee, I wish there were more photos of her in the nutty on the internet. That's the kind of stuff that should be sealed away for 100 years, like those JFK files. I think people would rather see explicit photos of Senator Mal Colston on the job. But anyway, speaking of sexy senators, what about Green Senator Dee Margetts?
What's she done?
I think we lost the other one of those raunchy Green senators at the last election. Those man-eaters, those temptresses, those harlots. Mick and I were double dating them at one point, but it was just too exhausting. Anyway, the remaining Green, Jezebel Dee Margetts, is in the news today after she refused to get off the tour bus during a Senate visit to the Ranger uranium mine up the territory. Senator Margetts stayed on the bus because she was concerned about the effects of breathing in radioactive dust.
Right.
Her sit-in caused a stir in Parliament yesterday when the Minister for Resources and Energy, Senator Warwick Parer, claimed Margetts was less at risk from radiation at a uranium mine than she would be on her weekly flights between Canberra and Perth. Hang on a sec, where's the radiation threat on a commercial flight? Oh, that'd be the chicken cacciatore.
Of course.
That'd be it. Or the microwave lasagna. That's deadly, that stuff. I've seen passengers get on a flight at one end looking completely normal, getting off the other end like those mutants in Total Recall. And, of course, on a commercial flight, there's always a danger of being attacked by Stephen King's The Langoliers.
That's true.
You've got to watch out. Those crafty little Pac-Men seen on Channel 10 a couple of months back. And are they still in the lead for our award, Mickey, for year's pissiest special effects? Are they?
It's them.
That's going to be a ceremony later in the year. But Senator Margetts, in her defence, I think she made the right decision, Mick.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we want is some giant kind of radioactive Green senator on the loose. Imagine that.
Oh, my God! She's 30 stories tall and wearing the biggest pleated sensible skirt and foundation garment combination ever seen! Run for your lives!
Full healing, and hey, while we're down that end of the pool, I'm Totty Martin, and welcome to Hot, Naked, Lubed Up, Panting and Well-Nigh Begging For It, the raunchy new sex program that takes an informative and educational look at relationships in the 90s. Right. Anyway, first up, pornographic films. Sales of X-rated videos have shot through the roof in the last few years. Videos like this. And this. And this. But it's not just about titillation. Many couples use these videos for, oh, there's some kind of relationships medical
reason. Well, more of a psychological... Oh, look, we've seen the clips. Can we move on?
Another recent phenomenon is the growth and popularity of table dancing clubs like this one. An enormous number of Australian men and women are allowing their partners to visit these clubs so that, well, there is some kind of socio-psychological reason, isn't it? I'm sure the research has said something about... I didn't write it down. Well, can't we just move on? What? More tits coming up? OK, I'll just filter we get to the... Yes, statistics show this seemingly unsavoury spectacle is actually proving beneficial to many...
Hey, check them out!
But what about penises, I hear you say? Well, here's some now.
Well, there they were. Have we got some sort of medical excuse for... Make something up. Oh, OK.
And I hope that's answered all your questions, your serious medical questions about penises. Anyway, moving on to breasts. Yes, it seems many couples are using breasts to improve their relationships in the 90s. And for other sort of medical reasons as well. We'll be back after this break with several educational and informative shots of great big enormous thrusting hooters that we got off a doctor, a real one. Until then, I'm Totty Martin, and I'm about to get the gears off for Black and White.
Still on about his summer of 69 here at Martin Molloy, and please don't phone up and complain about our new sex program. It's not titillation.
Not at all.
It's infotainment. It's exploring issues relating to sex. That's what it is. We've got proper medical doctors working on this program.
I'm studying it. I'm going to do my thesis on it.
Good on you. Yeah. What's coming up of a less inflammatory nature? Glenn Robbins, he'll be with us.
Yeah, excellent.
In the next hour. Glenn's just back from the Edinburgh Festival. Mm. She was over there. I was thinking of Judith Lucy, you can see for a moment, because Jude's been over there. Glenn's been over there. He was part of the show with Jamoan and Bobby Franklin.
And we'll be dragging him in for a debrief.
That's right.
And I hope they behave better than the boys on Bali.
Yeah. I hope there wasn't any ugliness.
Oh, no.
Any ugliness abroad from Glenn and co.
We'll maybe he hasn't been running around strangling chickens.
Oh, I hope not. I hope he hasn't been parking himself on the balcony, as it were. But also in the next hour, Sticky Beaks. And that unearthed probably more than it was supposed to yesterday. Let's hope we can have more of that.
Oh,
there was,
yeah.
There was a, for people who didn't hear it, there was a policeman from Queensland.
An ex-policeman.
And we foolishly asked, why are you an ex-policeman?
Well, don't you remember that Commission of Inquiry? Fitzgerald? Say no more.
And we'll just move on with the wacky entertainment, shall we? Mm. What about Radio Gladiators? That's coming up.
Beautiful.
And what are you sitting on, Mickey?
I'm just looking at a story in the paper today, Tone. Check it out. Looks like we're under siege from mad chickens.
Are we? What's
yeah, look, thing? Mad chicken disease could decimate Australia's poultry like mad cow disease destroyed the UK beef industry.
Is this true?
This, well, it's in the paper. It must be true. What, are you going to question it? Are you going to question it now? It's got to be true. And, Tone, you know what? I knew that.
Yeah.
And you know how I knew that we got a problem with mad chickens?
How's that?
Because I got a bucket of Kentucky the other day.
Did you?
And I noticed it was padded.
Oh, really?
On the inside it was.
Oh, well, that's mad chicken
and
right
then I
there.
Went, and then I went down the paddock. I thought I'd better check this out. So I went down the paddock, saw the chickens, and you know what they're doing? They're all running around going, invisible rats! They're all over me! Invisible rats!
That's mad.
They're mad chickens, though.
That's mad chickens for
they're
you.
They're going to have to destroy them. Just as soon as those footballers get back from Bali.
That's the only way to deal with them.
Yes.
Now, what about space?
Ooh,
we like to keep people up to date with activities in space. And the space shuttle Atlantis is today scheduled to dock with orbiting Russian space station Mir to finally bring home plucky US astronaut Shannon Lucid. She's been up there. How long has she been up there?
4 years.
4 years since the late 80s, I think, because I heard her on one of the link-ups ask, is it still hammer time down there? So, you know, she'll need a debriefing. And Lucid has, of course, been dogged by rumours that her reluctance to return to Earth is due to a love triangle. This is true. An alleged
That's
love
better.
Triangle between her and the two cosmonauts aboard the Mir, Yuri and Yuri. That's their real names. Y1 and Y2. There's something going on.
There's something going on.
There is something going on with those three, Mickey. Listen to this NASA communication we intercepted earlier today.
This is Canaveral calling Space Station Mir. Do you read me? Over. Space Station Mir, can you hear me?
Hang on, sir. We're picking up something.
Crank it up.
Here you go.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
Been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are.
Hers and hers and his. Three's company too.
You know, I think they've been up there long enough.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Okay.
This is Martin Malloy, yes, and it's the home of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, let me ask you a question. Mm. Made a dick of yourself lately?
Oh, yeah.
What have you done?
Well, the other day, right, I was doing the Macarena, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Round of applause for him, Gracie.
Through the Macarena.
No, okay.
I think I'm qualified.
Yes,
I
well.
I think I'm chairman of the Making a Dick of Yourself board.
You and about 500,000 others, because everyone's getting into that. And I know Peter Costello, obviously, has been leading the charge. Is that what we're going to use as the springboard for today's
Absolutely.
Segment? It's been a while since we did Made a Dick of Myself stories on Radio Gladiators. Mm. But we've had a bit of a spate of people.
We have.
Dicking up lately. We've had Costello on the midday show. We had Charlie Perkins making a bit of a dick of himself, taking on Pauline Hanson on her home turf on the midday show. He made
You can just about say anyone on the midday show of late, hasn't it? It's just been a home for nutbags.
That lawyer bringing out that salami. I mean, there's been a lot of it. But here's a great example of someone making a dick of himself. Bobby Brown. You know Bobby. I couldn't even remember his second name for a moment. Bobby Brown. Everybody's humping around. I think he did it there.
Yeah.
But he's been making a dick of himself pretty much on a weekly basis lately. Mm-hmm. There was fantastic footage. Did you see where...
He stacked his car.
He
stacked Whitney's car.
He's always,
Whitney's Porsche.
It's always Whitney's car that gets abused. But I'm just being careful because we don't know whether he has a drinking problem for sure.
Okay.
But there was some pretty funny footage. Well, it wasn't funny. It was funny because it was Bobby Brown.
It is now.
Of his car kind of up in a hedge. And he'd gone through the windscreen, I think, and was just lying there in a white suit.
Correct.
On the ground. And he was apparently uninjured, while heavy helicopters just hovered about overhead. Mm. Well, there's some pictures in the New Idea of him on the go again in London this time. Fading rapper Bobby Brown goes late night dancing on the roof of a $240,000 Bentley in London. Stunned revelers watched... And he's described here as boozed up.
Uh-huh.
Boozed up Bobby's moonwalk, which caused 30 grand's damage when the roof of the Bentley caved in. And that would have been 30 grand going straight on Whitney's Visa card, I reckon.
She puts
up with a lot, doesn't it? And look at there's a fantastic photo of fading rapper Bobby Brown on the roof of a car with his pants pretty close to his knees. Just dancing about. So there's someone who's made a dick of themselves.
Doing the Macarena.
And I might as well end of the fray. I made a dick of myself recently.
What'd you do?
A whole lot of friends of mine were going, we've got to see this Independence Day. And usually when there's films involved, it's on to me to kind of organise and get people there. So I've taken everyone along, got the session wrong, and instead we're going to see Striptease with Demi Moore.
Mm.
And then, of course, I'm the dick because everyone thinks, well, you wanted to see that all along. You just want to see Demi. And it was pretty much as you'd expect.
Was it?
Striptease. I don't know whether we've talked about this on the... I found this fantastic service on the internet.
Mm.
It's called Predicto Scripts.
Right.
And two blokes sat down at the start of this year. They got all the movies that were coming out and they predicted what they reckoned the films were going to be like, even though they hadn't seen them or heard about the scripts.
How'd they go?
And they've got them down to like just a couple of lines.
Right.
And here's their version of Striptease. Interior, topless bar, Demi Moore, look at my tits. Burt Reynolds, as a senator, I motion we look at Demi's tits. Director zooms in on Demi's tits.
That's it.
The end. That was pretty much it.
Pretty much how it played.
They're pretty much on the money.
Spun that out in 2 hours, did they?
Here's their script for Eraser. They just guessed this. Mm-hmm. Interior warehouse. Guns are fired. Then more guns. Finally, a really big gun is fired. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're erased. The end.
That's pretty good. That is the actual script.
No, I think so. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for Made a Dick of Yourself stories.
I got one.
What's that?
Bought Oasis tickets.
Oh,
Dad, I feel foolish. I was told, I never listened. And here's another one. The other day, caught trying to look up the Dalai Lama's dress.
What were you thinking?
Oh, well, it was hard not to. I mean, he's sitting there like Sharon Stone doing that kind of leg crossing.
Oh, he's a tease.
Look.
He's a tease.
I've always said that.
Now, we want real
he's
life.
He's a tease. He strings you on, but when it comes to the crunch, I'll bet you the Dalai's frigid.
Well, that'll get the calls coming in. We want calls
about how you made a dick of yourself.
I think Mick's just provided a perfect example there. Actual life.
Leading by example.
Foot in mouth, faux pas situations. Call us up with your made a dick of yourself stories. And, Gracie, do we have a prize? Yes, indeed, we do. Gracie on the Humdinger 2000 today. We've got a Kahlua six-pack of CDs with your name on it if you win today, and you'll go into the drawer to take part in the Kahlua CD Frenzy at Brash's Planet Hollywood in Sydney on the 26th of September. Amongst the prizes, 10 grand on the Kahlua CD wall. You don't have to be living in Sydney to take part. Call us from anywhere. If you win, we'll get you there. Call us with how you made a dick of yourself here at Martin Malloy, 1-800-657-657.
A specialty for the youngsters, Martin Malloy on SAFM.
Groups, Mickey.
What you got
it's
now?
It's a fantastic idea. So if you've just tuned in, these blokes on the internet at the start of the year guessed the plots of all the big movies being released this year, and they're pretty much on the... Listen to what they guessed for Twister. Exterior, Cornfield, Helen Hunt. Look, it's a tornado. Let's chase it. Bill Paxton. Oh, no, we're going to get killed. Tornado hits. Helen Hunt. Phew, we didn't get killed. Repeat until budget runs out. Paxton and Hunt, the stress of chasing tornadoes has certainly brought us closer together. Let's kiss. The end.
There you go.
That's pretty spot on.
I like it.
What an excellent idea, but that's not what Radio Gladiators is about today. We're asking for stories where you made a dick of yourself. And, Mick, if we had a few people calling up with, what do you call them, them urban myths?
Yeah, I only got suck it on one.
Oh, look around and the bloke was banging the head on the windscreen.
Boy, did he make a dick of himself.
Exactly. We're looking for real stories. Who have we got on the line?
We got Paul. How are you, Paul?
I'm embarrassed.
You're embarrassed and say you should be. Spill your guts. What are you sitting on?
Oh, only this morning while trying to be so professional with one of our clients, I had to ask her while she was on the end of the phone to wait while I got some information from someone on another line, and I said, Brenda, I said, do you mind if I hold you?
Oh, right. And are you engaged now?
Instead of asking, can I put her on hold? She was very gracious, and she said, Paul, we hardly know each other.
Oh, very nice.
You went red as a beetroot, didn't you, Paul?
You meant to say, can I put you on hold? Instead, you said, can I sleep with you several times over the next 2 weeks? Oops, I'm sorry. It just came out wrong like that.
I did the same thing down at Pizza Shop, Tone. I meant to say, can you hold the anchovies? And I said, can I hold the anchovies, please? And then tried to tonguey him. Before I realised my mistake. It happened to anyone, Paul.
All right, Paul, thanks for getting that out of your system. Have we got Christine on board? Christine?
Yes, hi.
Have you made a dick of yourself?
I always make a dick of myself, but the other day was a classic, so yeah.
All right, spill the beans.
Okay. I sort of do night shift, and my husband usually gets bread and milk for the morning, and I go to bed, and the kids go to school, and he goes to it. And then when I wake up, I have my coffee.
Yep, right.
And
so it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Okay, so far so good.
But it wasn't this morning. I went to have my coffee, and there was no milk.
Oh, no milk.
So I rang him at work, and before he had a chance to say anything, I went off my brain, telling him what it, you know, a dickhead he is and everything else, and da-da-da. And I said, well, aren't you going to say anything? Because men tend to sort of take a lot and just don't say nothing.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be his boss, and I was quite embarrassed.
Oh, no, and how did the boss react?
Well, he said, hang on a minute, and I'll put him on.
And so your boss has got a better idea of the competence of the person he's employed now?
Yeah. He won't send him out for bread and milk, I don't think.
Yeah, well, you'll have to have the boss round for dinner.
No, well, he copped an earful from me, that's all.
I see. Well, maybe the boss could give you a job, you know, providing motivational speeches to the staff. That's a job for you, Christine. Nicely done. Yeah. Now we've got, is it Julie? Yes, Julie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
What have you done?
We were coming back from a holiday in Queensland, and we're at the airport to come home, and my sister had bought a new car, and I've never seen this car, and I tried to put our luggage in the engine of a Volkswagen, so I didn't know they were at the back.
Oh, yes. I think I might have done that myself with one of them. Is it a Bambina?
A real dickhead.
Even so, well. And was there a lot of laughter at your expense?
They just stood there and looked at me and said, yeah, it's water-cooled too.
And it's good when it works the other way, when you see the V-dub owners trying to put their wedge their suitcases down beside the engine block on, say, a Datsun.
So you're around the arse end of a V-dub.
Always the arse end.
Turping bits of engine, going, get this rubbish out of here. How do I get my bags in there?
All right, well, that's certainly a dick. Thanks, Julie. We've got Janelle. Janelle, yes. What have you done dick-wise?
I had a big party at work at the Brisbane Convention Centre.
Yep.
And they had on the invitation optional fancy dress. Come fancy dress and have a really great time. And I thought, oh, I'd really like to have a great time. I think I'll come fancy dress. So I hired this really nice tight mermaid costume. It was a little see-through top and everything. And when I got there, the whole 1,500 other people weren't in fancy dress. I was the only one.
Oh, dear. Except for one bloke in a head-to-toe fish suit. And he thought he was in with a big shot.
But he's always dressed like that. And so you're a mermaid for the whole day.
Yeah,
all
evening.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
And so you were getting around the office like someone in one of those sack races, were you?
Yeah,
could
like
I just have that memo,
tasty,
please? Boing, 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 boing. There goes the mermaid.
And you're calling us from Brisbane, are you, Janelle?
Yes.
Right. Do they ever have fancy dress work day at, say, Movie World, where everyone just comes along in a suit and tie?
I don't know. They probably
yes,
do.
I'm normally Mickey Mouse, but today I'm a janitor.
I'm in civvies. All right, Janelle, thanks for that. Coming to work as the mermaid. Mermaid. And have we got Andrew with us? Andrew, you've made something of a dick of yourself, I understand. Tell us the story.
Oh, I'm the king of dickdom, fellas.
Oh, really?
I went to the football a couple of weeks ago, the finals, and spent $30 on a, you know, an all right ticket.
Yep.
And I got into the gate and I threw it away and then I couldn't get to my seat, so I had to stand up for 80 minutes around the drinking area and watch the telly.
There, I dare. And what made you throw the ticket away?
I don't know. I thought it was an Oasis concert ticket.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I thought it was a picture deal, you know. You don't need it once you get in the door.
Oh, dear. And what, should we ask what match it was?
Oh, it's the Canberra St George match in Sydney.
Okay. And how long have you been inhaling helium, Andrew?
Forever.
Oh, sorry.
Good on you, buddy.
A bit of a cheap shot. Sorry about that, Andrew.
Oh, kick my butt. I've let the team down, have I?
You've gone the Dalai Lama, and now you've gone this
sorry.
Way.
Sorry. Sorry, Andrew. I'm your buddy.
You'll be out on the balcony with your pants down like a member of an AFL football team
right,
any second.
I'll get
now.
My fellow jockey mates to back you up.
Oh, dear. Have we got Lisa on board? Are you there, Lisa?
Yeah.
Lisa, what have you done?
I was waiting at the traffic lights a couple of weeks ago and I needed to sneeze and I went to sneeze out the window and the window was up.
Oh, did you go right through it?
Smacked my head in the window.
I see. And was it viewed with some amusement by a fellow motorist?
Yeah, there was peak hour traffic. There was a couple of people in the car next to me and a couple of people crossing the road. And I think I looked in the rear vision mirror and the person behind me was laughing.
Everyone was laughing except those guys on the side of the road and clean your windows. They're going, whoa, big job. This is going to cost you.
Not touching that one. All right, well, that's a pretty good story. I also like the mermaid. Which one do we go for?
I'm leaving it up to you today, Tone. Make a decision. Go on.
Going for the big sneeze, Lisa. Yes, okay. Stick in through the window. Thinking it was down. All right. Well, you've got the CD six-pack from Kahlua.
Oh, that's great. It was worth it in the end, then, I thought.
Oh, yes, indeed.
They'll be laughing on the other side of their faces now.
And what about the CD frenzy? You could be taking part. Be listening this time tomorrow. We're drawing the winner. The one person who, well, I know over the last 4 weeks we've been gathering together a pantheon of people. Yeah. Only one of them will be taking part in the Kahlua CD Frenzy. Amongst the prizes, 10 grand. We'll be drawing the winner at this time tomorrow. I think Pete Smith is coming in. He's been flown in specially for the draw.
Good.
All right, that'll be tomorrow. Thanks for everyone who made a dick of themselves today. And we'll be back in the next hour with Glenn Robbins.
This is Martin Molloy.
A little late to silence them now, isn't it?
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
And in this hour of what's commonly referred to as Martin Molloy, Sticky Beaks, Pete Smith, is he going all showbiz? And next up, funny bugger Glenn Robbins, all thanks to Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% bit on the top. Diddly! Dream lover, that'd be Mariah Carey here at Martin Molloy. Mm. It's the second hour, and shall we involve somebody else?
Maybe? Let's do it.
All right. Okay, this bloke, he's a writer, actor, stand-up comedian who's just back from the prestigious Edinburgh Festival where, along with Jamoan and Bob Franklin, he did the green and gold proud. Can a sponsorship deal with Uncle Toby's be far away for the always chirpy Glenn Robbins? Always.
Always chirpy, nice to hear.
I'm running out of descriptions of people, so
you're an actor. It's always the golf, and I'm an actor, and I'm happy with those. I live with those.
I didn't get the golf in today, Glenn. I thought I'd give the golf a rest this time.
No, fair enough. No.
Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I was actually just in a caravan down at Lake's Entrance, but pretending that I was in Edinburgh. But,
all those.
Oh, I went well.
It was a Capricorn good. One kind of deal. Exactly. You pretend you went to space, you never did.
Just before we get to the trip, Glenn, I read a report, I think, in the Sydney Morning Herald, which was a giant, almost full-page review of everything that was going on at the Edinburgh Festival, and they said the talk of the town is... No, this is serious. They said, is a character played by Glenn Robbins in a show called The Biscuit Dunking Man. Everyone, you know, there was all this, you know, Shakespeare gear going on. There was all this dancing and all this, Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, going on, and instead people are going... Biscuit Dunking Man. What is the Biscuit Dunking Man?
What it is, it's a thing we do in the cricket show where Jamoan dunks a biscuit in his cup and he can't get it out. And they say, this looks like a job for Biscuit Dunking Man. I got a T-shirt and I stuck some biscuits to it. I am on stage for fully guarantee 5 seconds. I come on, I pull the biscuit out of the cup, I put it down and I say, my work here is done, now I must away. And it makes press in Australia. Life is good.
It was the talk of the town.
Yep.
You are Lord of the Biscuit Dunking.
Oh, well, you know, you do these things.
All right. That talk is circling.
Well, what happened? Well, I left Australia on a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
Now, I flew into Singapore, made a bit of a mistake. You know how your feet swell up?
Yeah.
Well, I bought new shoes and my feet went down and they don't fit me anymore. I can't believe that I actually did it. I'm getting these shoes down. Oh, no, my feet have gone down. That's why they don't fit. Anyway.
So you just got a pair of clown shoes in the cupboard at home that will never be worn. No,
that's the excuse Alexander Downing uses when he visits Asia. No, they're not clown shoes. My feet have swollen up.
I'll tell you what, I went to London. A lot of Americans in London, their trip must be really long because, you know, their whole bodies blew up. Their heads. Check shirts and zipper shoes everywhere in London.
It's a phenomenon.
And fun thing to do, I was in London. I went around a lot of the galleries. I love going to galleries with Japanese people because they've video everything. This guy was videoing a statue like it's going to do something. A still photograph will do fine, mate. It's not going to do anything. I can dance around in front of it if you like. It'll make it look better, but no, it's not going
to. He's cut it together on time-lapse photography. Oh, he's got a whole week's worth. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
Here comes the good bit.
So I've upset Americans and Japanese. Anyway, went to Edinburgh, and as you know, there's a lot of history there in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So what do? Spent a lot of time on the water slides.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
isn't there water slides in Edinburgh?
There are water slides in Edinburgh. I did get a wedgie dating back to the 12th century. It's funny, though, because, you know, when you go to a pool here in Australia, you drop your decks, you dive in.
Simple.
Not like that in Scotland.
No.
Excuse me, can I help you? Oh, we're just going to... No, you'll not be getting changed here, buddy. You'll be going in there to get changed. And into the changing room. And there's a sign up that says, no nude showering. You're not allowed to shower in there. You can wear a rubber suit with pointy breasts on it and stuff, but you can't shower in the nude. Very
at least a kilt in the showers. You know that, Glenn. Now, you mentioned the history. Did you get into that, what is that, underground
catacombs?
Oh, the catacombs. Now, do you know about this?
No. What's...
Well, basically what happened during the medieval times, they lived underground a lot of the time because there was no room on top.
Okay.
And
is that true?
No, it's true. That's true. Okay. They were storage areas, and then people moved in, and then they dug them more and more and more until there was like an entire city down there.
Very nice. Like a big ant farm.
Exactly.
Under Edinburgh.
A big honeycomb sort of thing down there. And you can do tours down there. Quite hard to get into, but apparently they're haunted because a lot of people died down there, and they take you into rooms and stuff like that.
Right.
And we went down there about 12 o'clock at night, and they took us into this room where 100 people had died. And the guy goes, are there any Australians here? And I've gone, And he tells the story about how two Australians thought that they'd scare themselves and spend the night there.
Right.
And about 4 o'clock in the morning, they got attacked by this wildebeest. And or whatever it was, and they turned a light on and they were scratched and bitten and everything. And then all the lights are out. And he goes, this is probably the most haunted place in all of Edinburgh. And at that point, a bloke jumps out and goes, boo! And I really did. I tell you, and Bob was there. I said, Bob, did you shoot yourself? He goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Ugly Australians abroad, Vicky. That's exactly the sort of activities that AFL footballers are doing right now.
Oh,
I don't think it was
any
poo
involved. You'd probably want to go and have a shower, except you'd have to take your pants off. Oh, no, you couldn't take your pants off. You'd have to shower in them.
Apparently, when you ask for rooms now, you can ask for a room overlooking the pool or overlooking the football boys, you know, dropping their dacks.
And I understand you mentioned rooms that 100 people have died in. There's a lot of those in the Edinburgh Festival. And we'll get into it in more detail in just a moment with Glenn Robbins. I'm Martin Molloy. It's Dishwalla counting blue cars here at Martin Molloy. Glenn Robbins is with us. He's just back from the, as I always say, the prestigious Edinburgh Festival. Yeah,
get
it's,
over it.
It's comedy's biggest game in town, as it were.
Playing with the big boys.
How'd you go? I know Judith Lucy, as she usually does, injured herself while she was over there.
Did I have any nasty falls?
Yeah,
yes,
how about
I
you?
Did. I fell down the stairs, I reckon, because there's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
A lot of old, nice cobblestone stairs.
So it's all
they're
stairs.
Quite nice to fall down.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, well, yeah, historical falls. But I hurt my shoulder, and now you're going to... Look, I'm prepared to be naive here, but I hurt my shoulder, and I thought, I need a massage. I think you know what's happening.
Yeah.
And this was quite... And I walked... I said, it said massage parlour, and I walked in, and straight away, I thought, hang on, no charts with muscles or skeletons on them. And she said, do you want a room with a video? And I'm thinking... And the pennies started to drop, and so I went through it, and she sort of started rubbing in another part. And I said, well, listen, it's my shoulder, actually, that's hurting, but I like the way you're thinking. No, actually, I didn't carry through with it. I just made that joke up on the end, all right?
Best to leave no stone unturned the injury department.
That's right. But I did, there was a point where I'm going, boy, oh boy. But no, the penny did drop and I didn't get it.
Good on you. Yeah. You've retained your family entertainer status.
Yes.
It's intact.
Yeah, I'm all right. I can go on any of these shows now.
Good.
There was a good show over there called, I'll talk about it.
Is there really?
No, a good show called Small Talk, where they have kids on. And you have to, it's a Ronnie Corbett thing. It's hilarious. That's all I need to say. It's Ronnie Corbett and it's kids. See it if you go over there.
Did you see? I don't think when we went to Edinburgh, we didn't have a telly. So is there, what is Scottish television like? Is there much going on?
No, it's just your normal old stuff, really.
Which format is Wheel of Fortune using at the moment over there? Is there a controversy?
Is there what's happening over here?
Oh, we'll have to bring you up to speed.
It's big
later.
News, is it? Oh, I'm sorry, I missed out.
There's been a lot going on while you were away, Glenn. Now, what about celebrities? You run into any big names in the street?
Sean Connery was there.
Oh, he's always there.
It's his hometown.
Yeah. Which, of course, means you get a lot of people doing crap Sean Connery impersonation.
Even he can't do a good one when he's in the hometown.
Yeah. The big one was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in the street.
The car?
Yeah.
The actual Chitty
The actual
Chitty
flying car with the people on, and the music going and...
Did you get
it? It was being heckled.
Really?
It's being heckled. Yeah. Fly now, go on. We're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, the critics agreed it wasn't as good as last year.
No.
Apparently. And what would you do with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Would you clamp it? Or tie it to a sandbag. What would you do? But have done the wrong thing.
Has David Copperfield bought it yet? He'll eventually get his hands on it.
He's got the Batmobile, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got one.
There was some news over there that I read in the paper about some people in Hampton or Hampstead or something who were woken by a frozen ball of urine coming through their ceiling from an aeroplane.
Is that true?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
A frozen ball of urine.
Luckily, they had frozen urine insurance.
Oh, well, of course. Everyone? You're mad if you don't.
You've always got to get your FUI, absolutely, at FUI Insurance.
And frozen urine balls. Sounds to me like football players on an end-of-season trip.
All right, Glenn. Now, I know there's been some talk. I don't know whether you're allowed to say anything, but I know your show is a hit, the show with Jamoan and Bob, and any sniffs of television action over the UK?
There was.
I can't say anything.
There was.
Was there?
We heard you're being hunted down mercilessly by roaming packs of television producers.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but I just want to say that, we're going to shut up.
All right.
No, look, it's early days and I can't say too much.
All right. It's not going to be one of those, are you being served down under, reverse. You're not going to do brass monkeys in England, something like that?
No, I think you've got the right track there.
Well, did you enjoy the castle? Because, I know the one thing I know about Edinburgh is it doesn't matter where you go in Edinburgh, that bloody dirty great castle is hanging there the whole time.
Fair point, but I'll tell you, it's no Bunratty Castle.
Bunratty Castle.
No Bunratty Castle. Have you heard of this place?
Bunratty Castle in Melbourne. I don't think it exists anymore. It was just too entertaining. It had to close down. It's a theatre restaurant. Everyone has a theatre restaurant castle.
Edinburgh is no Bunratty Castle. There was no crappy drawbridge. There was no all hail the beef. And most of all, there was none of those waitresses with the push-up bras.
No bawdy wenches.
I had a word to the management. I think you'll find there'll be a few changes at Edinburgh Castle very shortly.
Not authentic if it doesn't
have real.
And while
it's
you're there,
real.
Was Michael Jackson in residence? No, that's his holiday home, apparently. Edinburgh Castle.
All right. Well, we're offering our listeners the chance to visit a castle. Mm. It's in Germany, that'll be next. Glenn, thanks for coming in today.
I have made a dick out of myself.
Have you?
Oh,
please.
Yes. Some years ago, I was up at the lodge, being in Canberra.
Yeah.
And I walked in on Hazel Hawk on the toilet.
You didn't
really, did you? Is that true?
Yes, I did.
It's not a story you'd make up.
No, I didn't make it up. I was doing some work up there for television, and where's the toilets? Around there. Hazel, I'm sorry. Mrs.
True?
Prime Minister. Oh, God, talk about feeling like a
Could that happen at the White House? That wouldn't happen on the White House, too, yeah. Would it? Yeah. Well, we've got a Martin Malloy board game and stick pin for you, Glenn. So thanks for joining us today. I'm Martin Malloy.
We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Malloy. During the break, Nick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other.
Not the girl you think you are.
If you're our winning sticky beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. You know, last weekend I had a few of my showbiz buddies over for cocktails. It was a small gathering, just myself, Baby John Burgess, Gwen Plum, Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, and Gavin McLeod, the former captain of TV's The Love Boat. Anyway, at one point, Burgio had to pop out and wet the wheel, as it were, and I decided to have a quick sticky beak in his briefcase. Guess what I found? A 500-page manuscript containing just one phrase typed over and over. All play and no work makes Baby John a dull boy. Keep it to yourselves, lads.
Oh, we will. Thanks, Pete.
It won't go any further than this.
But there's a perfect example of sticky beaking right there.
Gotcha.
And what about this prize? Have we said enough about it?
No.
It's a week in a castle in Germany, where you will receive the 1 millionth copy of the Crowded House Best Of Recurring Dream. It's the actual 1 millionth copy. It's not some placebo 1 millionth copy.
Oh, no.
And it's that you're going into the draw for that, but even if you don't win today, or if you don't come out of the draw, am I explaining this at all?
No, you're doing a very bad job.
We need Pete Smith to come in and do this. I don't even understand the price myself now.
You'll be right.
It's a Crowded House CD back catalogue. You're winning that, and then you're going into the draw for the trip to the castle. You were talking about Michael Jackson's. What's the story? You're building a castle
in
Germany
you
himself?
You never listen. No. In France. He was I think he put a bid in on a castle in France adjacent to Euro Disney.
Oh, is that right? That'd be just like him to move in next to a children's playground. That'd be typical of him.
All right.
Would you like to go in the run for, well, a bit of castle action and a bit of Crowded House action? Call us and be aware, as always, we will be sticky beaking into your affairs during the ad break. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Sticky Beaks here at Martin Malloy. Your chance to see how much you know about somebody else's affairs. That's how it works. Who's beaking up? Who's getting themselves beakside today, Mickey?
Well, here's a bloke who doesn't mind going the good hard peck. It's Graham. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. What do you do for a crust, Graham?
I'm a company representative.
Any particular company you want to get a plug in, or you?
No, probably not.
I see.
We'll see how the segment goes. And taking on Graham, we have Sandra. Are you there, Sandra?
Yes.
Is it Sandra or Sandra?
Sandra.
Oh, okay, all right. And can we say what she does? Yes. What do you do for a living?
I'm a housewife.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Hard work. What have you been up to today?
Children.
How many?
Four. Four girls.
That's serious work. Are you lying down at the moment?
I'm sitting down.
Do you get a break about, 12 o'clock for the midday show? Do you allow yourself a bit of that?
It depends if the baby lets me.
Okay.
I have a two-week-old.
All right. Well, let's see how much you know about your opponent's lifestyle. Let's get things underway. And, Mickey, you kick things off.
All right, Sandra, this is a question for you. For lunch today, Graham had A, nachos, B, a hot ham roll with mustard and pepper, C, nothing, because he still can't do that cheesy cheeses thing.
B.
Correct indeed. Hot ham roll with mustard and pepper, ain't that right, Graham?
That's for sure.
Oh, you love it in your tummy, don't you?
I love it.
Just the one?
No, two.
Good on you.
Oh, stand back.
Never die wondering, Graham. Always hoe into that second.
Have we got a question for Graham? Yes, the fragrance you'll usually find Sandra wearing is A, white diamonds, B, Lulu, C, Colston.
I'll go for B.
Yes, it's Lulu. I don't think the Senator Mel Colston fragrance is available in the shops yet, but I hope it is.
I'll be queuing up. Here we go, Sandra. The last film Graham saw was A, Sleepless in Seattle, B, Adam's Family Values, C, preceded by a spectacular live sex show and smorgasbord.
A.
Sleepless in Seattle, you big softy, Graham. Did you enjoy it? Did you get a bit weepy?
Oh, no, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad?
And that's the last film you've seen. Was it at the movies, Graham?
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's been a few since then.
I've been too busy, mate.
Oh, okay. Been too busy working for his mysterious company.
Chucking down those pepper rolls. Here's a question for you about Graham. Sandra's last holiday was A, in Sydney, B, in Bali, C, marred by a throng of pantsless members of the Fitzroy Football Club.
I'll go for A.
Yes, in Sydney. Of course. It's anyone's beak at this stage.
It's neck and neck, is it, Em? Can't split them?
All right. Down to the business end of Sticky Beaks. Strap yourself in, people. Sandra.
Yes.
Graham once had a major crush on A, Farrah Fawcett Majors, B, Victoria Principal, C, Doug Parkinson.
A.
Farrah Fawcett Majors, you've got him. You can read him like a book. Your
He's
beak is in.
And,
Graham, did you actually go out and get the Farrah Fawcett haircut?
No.
You didn't do
quite,
that?
Didn't quite go that far.
What about the Doug Parkinson mo? I don't think anyone else has ever had one of those.
Oh, no.
No one else can get away with it. I don't think even he can, to tell the truth. Here's a question for you, Graham. When she heard Michael Jackson was coming to Australia, Sandra was A, pleased, B, indifferent, C, very quick to tell her kids to get inside and lock all the doors.
I go for C.
Oh, no, I'm afraid she was merely indifferent.
Indifferent,
she didn't know, so I'm afraid that makes years of Sandra out of it today. Sandra, you've got the Crowded House CD back catalogue.
That's excellent.
To go, so you can just belt out Crowdie's classics all day while you're dealing with those kids.
Oh, that's great.
And you've gone into the drawer for a trip to Germany. It's a castle in Germany. It's a top castle. And you'll get, if you come out of the drawer, you'll get the millionth copy of the Crowded House Best of, quite a collector's item. So that's being drawn in a couple of weeks thanks to Arc Music TV on Optus Vision.
That's excellent. Thanks a lot.
You'll be king of the castle with all your little kids.
And
I think the castle's got a creche in the shape of a little castle.
Oh, very nice.
You put the kids in.
With no sharp corners.
Correct.
And how do you think a sales representative would look in a Martin Malloy T-shirt?
Oh, I reckon he'll sell a fortune.
That's what you've got, Graham.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for taking part.
Thanks,
another satisfied customer. It's Sticky Beaks. We'll be back with another round tomorrow on Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
That's the Bodines, closer to free here on Martin Malloy. Turn up Wheel of Fortune. Turn up Wheel of Fortune. It's an extraordinary scene on Wheel of Fortune. Oh, they've gone to the prizes. It's too fast. That format, it's too fast.
The stumped.
The puzzle at the moment is flat ot like a Liard drinking. What do you think it could be?
I've narrowed it down.
It's a phrase.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the... Oh, I don't know.
Well, come back after the break and find out.
Oh, okay.
Well, I certainly hope so. This is Martin Malloy, and while we're talking game shows, we mentioned yesterday that our own Pete Smith doing very well on Celebrity Sale of the Century this week. Mm. He stepped out of the booth and onto the panel. And you know what? I'm worried that he might be getting a little bit showbiz, a little bit sort of full of himself.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. Just give us the phone over, Mickey.
What you want to do?
We'll call him up and we'll see. I'm worried about Pete.
Don't be worried about Pete. He's a good egg. He's been around a long time, Tony. He knows better.
All right, I'll call him at his palatial Smithlands estate. See what happens.
Hi, you've reached the worldwide headquarters of... me! Smith. If you'd like to hear me say Sale of the Century, press 1.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear me say, you can't buy better than Copper Art, press 2.
Right.
If you'd like to hear me say, Martin Malloy, the funniest program on radio, you'll be waiting a bloody long time because it ain't gonna happen in this life, pal. If you'd like to hear me bark like a dog, press 3.
Oh, press 3, Tone.
Ruff, ruff.
Okay, that's enough of that.
If you'd like to hear me doing an impression of Mick and Tony's Brown album, press 4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, very good.
If you'd like to hear me bouncing on a trampoline with former Prime Minister Paul Keating during an official visit to the lodge in 94, press 5.
Oh, yes, please.
Well, Pete, what do you reckon? Feeling better already?
Well, to tell the truth, Prime Minister, I'm not 100%.
After we've finished here, we can strip off and join Laurie Oakes in the sauna.
Oh, dear.
Oh, quick tone.
If you'd like to hear a track off the new Meatloaf album, you probably need a psychiatric evaluation.
All right.
If you'd like to hear Arthur Tunstall being kicked in the pants by a Mallee Bull, get in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to hear a preview of the entertainment which will be replacing those inflatable kangaroos at the opening of the 2000 Olympics, press 6.
Oh, this should be good.
Your kisses lift me higher. Like
rightio. Okay.
If you'd like to hear people calling for the police, press the waiting to cross button at a busy intersection several hundred times while screaming, damn it, Picard, beam me up now, you chrome-dome bastard. If that's baby John Burgess, no. How many times do I have to tell you? Glenn is very happy. He has no intention of leaving the show.
Fair enough.
And finally, if you'd like to hear me talking dirty, press 7.
Press 7, Tone.
It was 7:30 in the morning when I arrived on the set of Sail. There was nobody about. I was completely alone.
Right.
After thinking about it for a moment, I decided, hey, what the hell? It's always been a fantasy of mine. Slowly, I reached up and removed my tie. I threw it casually into the booth, and I left it there all day. Through the warm-ups, the voiceovers, the fame game, everything.
Oh,
no tie.
On.
The two top buttons undone.
Wash your mouth out, Mr. Copperart.
Some of the night at Saw. We've got time for here at Martin Malloy.
Okay. Just looking up at the clock. Time for us to sign off. And I'm just looking at what's on the telly tonight.
Lots of good stuff. Seinfeld, of course. Do yourself a favour, people, and watch those new episodes. They're very good.
Yeah, I haven't been seeing them because, you know, I'm usually watching Getaway. Tonight it's a Great Britain special, and I'm hoping they're concentrating on food. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's too, Mick. We've talked about this before.
Mm.
It's on Channel 7 tonight.
Yeah.
How can there be a Weekend at Bernie's too?
How did the first one finish?
Well, they're dragging a dead bloke around the beach.
Oh, yeah.
He's obviously, you know...
He's gone.
He's decomposing. That's what I'm trying to say.
He's on the nose. And they probably have to dig him up to go again.
Well, 2 years later, it's Weekend at Bernie's too. Two young insurance executives are fired when they're suspected of embezzlement. They turn to their dead boss for help. So it's 2 years on. Is it just a skeleton on a rope? I mean, I know it's unsavory, but I'm asking, how can there be a Weekend at Bernie's
too? I don't know. If I had the answer, I'd tell you.
It's got me. I'm losing sleep.
We're going to Bernie's. I'd like to see one of those, but about Bernie Fraser, ex-head of the Reserve Bank. That'd be good fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Watching him being dragged around
by
the pants.
Well, you know the scene where they're, you know, Bernie's dead and they've wired his sort of arm up to fishing wire so that he's waving at people, that kind. That's the same kind of technology they use on Boris Yeltsin for all of his public appearances, I'm told.
Is it?
Yeah. And by the way, have we got any interest yet? I know there's a film. We floated a film concept on the market, Lightning Jack style.
Yeah.
Not a lot of bites for our... Remember that film idea we had, Weekend at Boonies?
Weekend at Boonies.
It's just me and you dragging David Boone around the beach. And when people say, is he dead? We go, no, he's just the quiet man of Australian cricket.
There you go.
Not a snifter.
Would have been fantastic.
Nobody's interested.
We could have been up there, come Oscars, dragging Boonie out just to accept his gong.
And don't forget, people in Tasmania listening, National David Boone. Well, it's not national, it's just Tasmanian, but I'm trying to make it national.
It should be national.
David Boone Day is coming up. I don't recall exactly when it is. I think it's November 14th. I could be wrong.
Or thereabouts. It could be October
3rd. Check your local guides.
Yeah.
We'll have a full David Boone Day update on the program tomorrow. But in the meantime, thanks to our guests, Glenn Robbins, Deb Clark, and all our Beaks and Gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be winding up the week with Steve Bedwell.
And just before we go, we were talking earlier about Greens Senator Dee Margetts, who's caused a bit of trouble because she visited a uranium mine in the Northern Territory and wouldn't get off the bus because she was worried about inhaling radioactive dust.
Yep.
And people are criticising that. I think she did the right thing because the last thing we want is a giant radioactive Green Senator on the loose.
She's 30 stories tall and wearing the biggest pleated sensible skirt and foundation garment combination ever seen. Run for your lives!
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Pete Smith speaking.